This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This reading is by Martin Clifton. Fairy Tales by the Brothers Grimm. The King of the Golden Mountain. There was once a merchant who had only one child, a son, that was very young and barely able to run alone. He had two richly laden ships, then making a voyage upon the seas, in which he had embarked all his wealth, in the hope of making great gains, when the news came that both were lost. Thus from being a rich man, he became all at once so very poor, that nothing was left him but one small plot of land. And there he often went in the evening to take his walk, and to ease his mind of a little of his trouble. One day, as he was roaming along in a brown study, thinking of no great comfort on what he had been, and what he now was, and was like to be, all on a sudden there stood before him a little, rough-looking, black dwarf. "Prithee, friend, why so sorrowful?" said he to the merchant. "What is it that you take so deeply to heart?" "If you would do me any good, I'd willingly tell you," said the merchant. "Who knows but I may," said the little man. "Tell me what ails you, and perhaps you will find I may be of some use." Then the merchant told him how all his wealth was gone to the bottom of the sea, and how he had nothing left but that little plot of land. "Oh, trouble yourself not about that," said the dwarf. "Only undertake to bring me here 12 years hence, whatever meets you first on your going home, and I will give you as much as you please." The merchant thought this was no great thing to ask, that it would most likely be his dog or his cat or something of that sort, but forgot his little boy Heimel, so he agreed to the bargain and signed and sealed the bond to do what was asked of him. But as he drew near home, his little boy was so glad to see him that he crept behind him and laid fast hold to his legs and looked up in his face and laughed. Then the father started, trembling with fear and horror, and saw what it was that he had bound himself to do. But as no gold was come, he made himself easy by thinking that it was only a joke that the dwarf was playing on him, and that at any rate when the money came, he should see the bearer and would not take it in. About a month afterwards, he went upstairs into a lumber room to look for some old iron, that he might sell it and raise a little money. And there, instead of his iron, he saw a large pile of gold lying on the floor. At the sight of this, he was overjoyed, and, forgetting all about his son, went into trade again, and became a richer merchant than before. Meantime, little Heimel grew up, and as the end of the 12 years grew near, the merchant began to call to mind his bond, and became very sad and thoughtful, so that care and sorrow were written upon his face. The boy one day asked what was the matter, but his father would not tell for some time. At last, however, client a father. Give yourself very little trouble about that. I shall be too much for the little man. When the time came, the father and son went out together to the place agreed upon. And the son drew a circle on the ground and set himself and his father in the middle of it. The little black dwarf soon came and walked round and round about the circle, but could not find any way to get into it, and he either could not or dared not jump over it. At last the boy said to him, "Have you anything to say to us, my friend, or what do you want?" Now Heimel had found a friend in the good fairy that was fond of him, and had told him what to do. For this fairy knew what good luck was in store for him. "Have you brought me what you said you would?" said the dwarf to the merchant. The old man held his tongue. But Heimel said again, "What do you want here?" The dwarf said, "I come to talk with your father, not with you." "You have cheated and taken in my father," said the son. "Pray give him up his bond at once." "Fairly and softly," said the little old man, "right is right. I have paid my money, and your father has had it and spent it. So be so good as to let me have what I paid it for." "You must have my consent to that first," said Heimel. "So please to step in here and let's talk it over." The old man grinned and showed his teeth, as if he should have been very glad to get into the circle if he could. Then, at last, after a long talk, they came to terms. Heimel agreed that his father must give him up, and that so far the dwarf should have his way. But, on the other hand, the fairy had told Heimel what fortune was in store for him if he followed his own course, but he did not choose to be given up to this humpback friend who seemed so anxious for his company. So, to make a sort of drawn battle of the matter, it was settled that Heimel should be put into an open boat that lay on the seashore hard by, that the father should push him off with his own hand, and that he should thus be set adrift and left to the bad or good luck of wind and weather. Then he took leave of his father and set himself in the boat. But before it got off, a wave struck it and it fell with one side low under the water. So the merchant thought that poor Heimel was lost and went home very sorrowful, while the dwarf went his way, thinking that at any rate he'd had his revenge. The boat, however, did not sink, for the good fairy took care of her friend, and soon raised the boat up again, and it went safely on. The young man sat safe within, till at length it ran ashore upon an unknown land. As he jumped ashore, he saw before him a beautiful castle, but empty and dreary within, for it was enchanted. "Here," said he to himself, "must I find the prize the good fairy told me of." So he once more searched the whole palace through, till at last he found the white snake lying coiled up on a cushion in one of the chambers. But the white snake was an enchanted princess, and she was very glad to see him, and said, "Are you at last come to set me free? 12 long years have I waited here for the fairy to bring me hither as she promised, for you alone no answer, and let them do what they will. Eat with peach prickles on them, should bear all. Only speak not a word, and the purple droppings go away. The second night 12 others will come, and the third night 24, who will even cut off your head. But at the 12th hour of that night their power is gone, and I shall be free, and will come and bring you the water of life, and will wash you with it, and bring you back to life and health. And all came to pass as she had said. And they bore all, and spoke not a word. And the third night the princess came, and fell upon his neck and kissed him. Joy and gladness burst forth throughout the castle. The wedding was celebrated, and he was crowned King of the Golden Mountain. They lived together very happily, and the queen had a son. And thus 8 years had passed over their heads, when the king thought of his father, and he began to long to see him once again. But the queen was against his going, and said, "I know well that misfortunes will come upon us if you go." However, he gave her no rest till she agreed. At his going away, she gave him a wishing ring, and said, "Take this ring, and put it on your finger. Whatever you wish, it will be. And you promise never to make use of it, to bring me hence to your father's house." Then he said he would do as she asked, and put the ring on his finger, and wished himself near the town where his father lived. Heimdall found himself at the gates in a moment, but the guards would not let him go in, because he was so strangely clad. So he went up to a neighbouring cabin where a shepherd dwelt, and borrowed his old frock, and thus passed unknown into the town. When he came to his father's house, he said he was his son, but the merchant would not believe him, and said he had but one son, his poor Heimdall, who he knew was long since dead. And as he was only dressed like a poor shepherd, he would not even give him anything to eat. The king, however, still vowed that he was his son, and said, "Is there no mark by which you would know me if I am really your son?" "Yes," said his mother, "our Heimdall had a mark like a raspberry on his right arm." Then he showed them the mark, and they knew that what he said was true. He next told them how he was King of the Golden Mountain, and was married to a princess, and had a son 7 years old. But the merchant said, "That can never be true. He must be a fine king truly, who travels about in a shepherd's frock." At this the son was vexed, and forgetting his word, turned his ring and wished for his queen and son. In an instant they stood before him, but the queen wept and said he had broken his word, and bad luck would follow him. He did all he could to soothe her, and she at last seemed to be appeased. But she was not so in truth, and was only thinking how she should punish him. One day he took her to walk with him out of the town, and showed her the spot where the boat was set adrift upon the wide waters. Then he sat himself down and said, "I'm very much tired. Sit by me. I'll rest my head on your lap and sleep a while." As soon as he had fallen asleep, however, she drew the ring from his finger and crept So saying, he set out and travelled till he came to a hill where three giants were shearing their father's goods. And as they saw him pass, they cried out and said, "Little men have sharp wits, he shall part the goods between us." Now there was a sword that cut off an enemy's head whenever the wearer gave the words, "Heads off." A cloak that made the owner invisible or gave him any form he pleased, and a pair of boots that carried the wearer wherever he wished. Einar said they must first let him try these wonderful things, then he might know how to set a value upon them. Then they gave him the cloak, and he wished himself a fly, and in a moment he was a fly. "Cloak is very well," said he, "now give me the sword." "No," said they, "not unless you undertake not to say, 'Heads off,' for if you do, we're all dead men." So they gave it him, charged him to try upon the tree. He next asked for the boots also, and the moment he had all three in his power, he wished himself in the golden mountain, and there he was at once. So the giants were left behind with no goods to share or quarrel about. As Heimdall came near his castle, he heard the sound of merry music, and people around him told him that his queen was about to marry another husband. Then he threw his cloak around him and passed through the castle hall, and placed himself by the side of the queen where no one saw him. But when anything to eat was put on the plate, he took it away and ate it himself. And when a glass of wine was handed to him, he took it and drank it. And thus, though they kept on giving him meat and drink, a plate and cup were always empty. Upon this, fear and remorse came over, and she went into her chamber alone and sat there weeping. And he followed her there. "Alas," said she to herself, "was I not once set free? Why then does this enchantment still seem to bind me?" "False and fickle one," said he, "one indeed came who set me free, and he is now near thee again. But how have you used him? Ought he